Please turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, we'll read verses 30 through 39 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 through 39. 1 Kings 18, verses 30 through 39. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God. Lord, thank you for the great victory that we saw here today and the dozens that were saved and baptized. Lord, just such a wonderful, exciting spirit because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, we need you. We need you in a special way. Lord, we face a miracle next week. It's obvious we can't do it in our power, and we must need your power. We need the leadership of your man as you've given him clarity. May we listen, may we pay attention, and Lord, next week at this time, may we be able to praise you for all that you've done, please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
In the passage of Scripture that we read earlier, we see the story of the great Elijah and his challenge to the false prophets of Baal at a place called Mount Carmel. There were 450 of these false prophets. There was going to be a proving. We wanted to find out who had the real God. Would it be Baal? And Baal was the god of Ahab and Jezebel, a false god, a terrible god. Or would the real God be Jehovah God? Of course, that was already settled in the minds of God's people. They knew it would be Jehovah God. But a false God had arisen in the land, and that false God had become very influential among the people. They all met at this mountain. They called it Mount Carmel. What would happen is, and what did happen in this story, is they were to pick two bullocks. And they were going to sacrifice. The prophets of Baal are to lay their bullock on an altar of wood. Then they are to pray to Baal. They're to ask Baal to send fire from the sky to consume that bullock. And that's what they did. They put their bullock on the altar. They began to pray. The Bible says that they prayed and then they prayed some more, but nothing happened. They prayed and they prayed some more and nothing happened. Elijah began to maybe mock them a bit. And Elijah said, What's wrong? Is your God on vacation? Is your God out of town? Maybe your God is sleeping and we need to awake him. But they could not get fire to come from the sky to consume that sacrifice. Then it was Elijah's turn. It was Elijah's time to see if God could do something big with that sacrifice. The object is now to have God do a great miracle on that day on Mount Carmel. And they laid their bullock on top of that altar. And just so you know, it happens. Elijah begins to pray, and when Elijah begins to pray, the fire comes from the sky and it consumes that sacrifice. It's a unique thing what happened. Elijah actually had them to pour water all over his sacrifice and pour water on it numerous times. And Elijah began to pray and the fire came from heaven. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." And there was a great, great miracle performed by God that day. You know, what a big day. That was a big day. You can be sure something happened there that was amazing. We also are wanting to have a big day. I want us to notice the success of Elijah and this big occurrence. And I want you to know that the success of Elijah on Mount Carmel had something to do with his plan. Elijah did what Elijah was supposed to do. He had a plan, and then God stepped in and God did what God needed to do. You see, you can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, but if you don't do your part, then God's not going to do his part. You know, some people say, "Well, I'm going to pray that God will pay my bills." Well, you may have to go to work and pray that God pay your bills. There's a work that man is to do to get God to do his part. But I want to show you real quickly the process that took place here in this miracle. And we need to be still up there in the balcony, please. I want you to see the process that they went through to see this miracle performed. For instance, in 1 Kings 18:30, Elijah says, he asks all the people, this is a quote, it says, "Come near unto me." Let me tell you, first of all, the people were unified. Elijah had called the people together. When he said, "Come near unto me," he was calling the people together. So they were all on the same page. They had the same goal. They had the same desire. So they were unified. Secondly, in 1 Kings 18:32, he talks about all of this in the name of the Lord. Now, their motive was right. They wanted to please God. They wanted to glorify God. They were doing it in the name of the Lord. So the people are together. They're unified. Their plan and their goal is sincere, and they're trying to glorify God. They want God to get credit. They want God to have a big day and God to get the praise and the honor and the glory. Then in verse 33, it says, "And he put the wood in order." There was organization. There was a plan. This wasn't a fly by night. This wasn't a run by the seat of your britches organization here. He knew what he was doing. He had unified the people. His motive was to please God. They put things in order. There was an organized, advanced effort to make sure that things were being done right. Then we find that the goal was a lofty one. The goal was a hard one. You say, how so? Well, first of all, calling fire down from the sky is quite a difficult thing. I went to Bible college and we had no class on calling fire down from the sky. I have a handful of Bible college degrees, but none of them qualify me to call fire down from the sky. This is a pretty big deal. But on top of that, as I told you, they put the bullock on the altar and then they started pouring water on it. Listen to these verses. It says, "And he put the wood in order and he cut the bullock in pieces and he laid him on the wood and said, 'Fill 4 barrels of water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it the second time.' And they did it the second time. And he said, 'Do it the third time.' And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and he filled the trench also with water." You understand, 12 barrels full of water were poured on this thing. I'm telling you, the goal or the task was big. It was hard. It was bigger than them. And I want you to know something. The task that's ahead of us is bigger than us. It would take God's help. I mean, that sacrifice was soaked in water. They had poured 12 barrels of water on it. They were about to try to call fire from the sky. This was a lofty task. It was bigger than Elijah. It was bigger than the children of Israel. But not only that. In 1 Kings 18:36, it says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering. They had a schedule. There was a time that things were supposed to take place. You see, anything that's going to be done right is going to be done on schedule. So what's happening here? He unified the people. He called them together. They had the right motive. It was to glorify God. They had things organized. Things were put in order. It was hard. So it was a task because of the water and the fire from the sky. It would take God's intervention. It was bigger than them. Hey, they had a time schedule. Then in 1 Kings 18:36, he said that I am thy servant. He was praying to God and he said, God, let these people see that I am thy servant. And what's that tell you? He had a humble spirit. He had a humble spirit. You see, the people involved here, they were just humble servants of God. Elijah knew it wasn't him, it was God. The people that were there knew it was all about God. They were just a bunch of humble people trying to serve God. No big shots, no big wigs, nobody trying to get their, trying to get their name in lights. Just humble servants of God, humbly serving God. Then, in verse number 37, Elijah says, "Hear me, O Lord." What happened? Elijah prayed. Elijah knew it would take prayer to do what needed to be done. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell. That word then is important to me. T-H-E-N. Then. What does that mean? Then. It meant only after they had done the other things. After they had done the prerequisites to the miracle, then the fire fell. Then it fell. Then their miracle came. And the fire did fall. And it was a miracle. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. And then you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in verse number 39, it says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. They had a victory celebration right after the miracle. That's exactly what they did here in this miracle. So get it? They all unified together as one big workforce. They did it in the name of the Lord. They wanted to please God. They put the wood in order. They got themselves organized. They knew the task was bigger than them. They had a planned schedule. They had servants' attitudes and humble attitudes. They prayed fervently. Then the fire fell. Then they got their miracle. Then they went back to God and praised God and had a time of victory all in the name of the Lord. That's the miracle on Mount Carmel. Well, of course, if you were listening and your mind was running as you heard that, you would, of course, understand that's exactly what God will do for us if we're going to have a miracle on April the 22nd. We know that next Sunday, April 22, 2012, our minimum goal is to have 2,012 people in Sunday school. Now, I'm not talking about just in the church service. I'm talking about in Sunday school. And all 2,012 people are going to be in Sunday school on our property. We don't have any extension churches or chapels or anything like that. I'm not against those. It's going to happen right here. Right here on the property of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Not just coming to the church service. We'll have more in church than we'll have in Sunday school. I'm talking about 2012 in the Sunday school hour. Just like there was a plan on Mount Carmel, we have a plan. Hey, did you know the day of Pentecost, I think there was a plan. I think God had some things planned. And there is a plan. Tonight, I'm going to discuss with you the plan. I'm going to discuss with you the details of next Sunday. We call it Monster Growth Sunday. That's why we're having the monster truck. We started out and the whole plan was we'd have week number one was growth week. And then week number two was more growth week. And week number three, that was this week, much growth week. And then finally, Monster Growth Week. And Monster Growth Week is upon us. Now, I'm going to be so incredibly practical, but I feel like we all need to, this is kind of a workers meeting tonight. It's a leadership meeting and we all need to pull together and I need everybody to understand what's going to happen next week. So listen to me and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. First of all, what's our goal? What's our goal? Well, much like Elijah and the people of Israel, our goal is that God be glorified. I want God glorified. I want God to get the glory. I want God to get the praise. I want God to get the honor. Let's put ourselves aside and let's just lift up Jesus. Let's do this for the right reason. I don't want to do it so people look at us and say, look at them. Look what they did. No. Hey, let's tell them, look at God and look what God did. Let's do it for the glory of God. What's our goal? Our goal is to see a lot of people saved. And let me say, don't you get in such a hurry for all the fun and the hoopla of the day that we're not getting people saved. Children's Church Ministries, let's get them saved by the hundreds next week. Hey, soul winners, let's get them saved and down the aisle. Hey, just so you don't get all mixed up. The real big deal is not the 2012. Don't tell anybody that. It's reaching the people. It's helping the people. That's just a number. But don't spread that. But that's the goals. It's not just about 2012. I want to reach all the people we can and get all the people saved that we can. Hey, I think one of our goals is to get some backslidden people back. You know, people get out of church and get away in a little thing like this where we're having some activity around the church and some fun and maybe this bombastic demonstration by the big monster truck, the Holy Roller. Hey, there'll be some people that'll come back for that. And it might just get them back so we can reconnect with them and get them back into church. I think we'll have many new people come to our church. That's one of our goals. One of our goals is that we get to teach the Bible to over 2,000 people next Sunday morning in Sunday school. Get ready, Sunday school teacher. What a great honor. We're going to teach the Bible to over 2,000 people next Sunday morning in Sunday school. I want to get some of the uninvolved church members involved. You know, some people that kind of sit and watch, we need you. It's going to take everybody. We need everybody to get involved. Hey, what's our goal? Well, it's to glorify God. What's our goal? To get people saved. What's our goal? To get new people to come to church. What's our goal? To get some backslidden people to come to the church. What's our goal? To teach the Bible to over 2,000 people on Sunday morning. What's our goal? It's to get the uninvolved involved. What's our goal? Our goal is to see a miracle. It's to see a miracle. It's my goal to watch you meet your goals. Sunday school teachers, I want you to meet your goals. I've got the list of every Sunday school teacher's goal. I'm praying over that with you. I've got the list of every bus captain's goal. I'm praying over that with you. I've got everybody's individual goal. I'm praying over those as individuals. Somebody said the other day, how in the world do you pray for 15 minutes about something like this? How in the world could you get it all in 15 hours? There is so much to pray about. Oh, we should pray about this thing. Hey, you know something? What's our goal? I want to encourage other New Testament Baptist churches. I want us to have a great day. Why? I want people to see that God's still alive and you can still have revival in this day and age. Folks, you don't get to, but I do. I travel the country and everywhere I go, there are depressed churches and depressed people and depressed pastors. And they're thinking you just can't do it anymore. That's not true. It can be done. And God's got to use some people to do a great work. Hey, something that's supernatural, something that's bigger than average. Why? Other churches will look at it and say, you know something, we ought to try a big day. We ought to try to go out and reach a bunch of people. We ought to make something big happen. Hey, it'll take 100% participation. It's going to take everybody to get this done. We'll have to have everybody. That's our goal. Number two, let me tell you a little bit about our schedule. Now, we started months ago. I made an announcement over a year ago that we wanted to have this day. I think a year ago, January, I made an announcement that I wanted to have a big day like this. That's how long we've been praying about it and thinking about it. We have been inviting visitors for weeks and weeks and weeks. This week, oh my, if you want to know the schedule this week, just visit and invite and visit and invite and invite people. Our 2000, if you remember correctly, on the 12th and 13th of this month, we had a part of our schedule was 2012 continual minutes of prayer. You all signed up. We started at a certain time. We ended at a certain time. And for almost 38 straight hours, we prayed. There was somebody praying for this great goal. 2012 minutes toward our goal of 2012. Now, Let me tell you, this next Wednesday night, when you come to church, the Wednesday night service is going to have, I'm going to talk to us about our prayer for the big day. I'm going to talk to you about prayer and how to get a prayer answered and how we're going to pray for the big day. On April the 21st, that's next Saturday, the bus meeting, oh my, captain's meeting, you just need to be there. Bus workers, you need to be in your place. Anybody that can on Saturday, Sunday school teachers, you get out there and visit. I already have my entire day planned. I have it all mapped out. I'm going visiting from the time I have one meeting in the morning on Saturday, and I'm going to visit all day long. Mrs. Owens is going to visit all day long. We're going to invite people to be at that big day. Then, Sunday, April 22. It will arrive, believe it or not. It's coming. Buses, you need to leave out of here early so you can be back on time. I don't want any buses late next week. No buses late next week. Bus captains, some of you are coming in late repetitively, and it's making it hard on our Sunday school teachers. And thank God for you. You're filling those buses up, but I have to tell you something. If they come in and they miss a Sunday school lesson, we're sure hurting them. And it's not all about the number. It's all about getting the word of God to the students. So they've got to be here. So next Sunday morning, captains, you have everything organized. You get out of here early so you can get back on time. Then next Sunday morning, Sunday school, as usual, on time, 9:45. But it's going to be full. We'll have a full house. There's no doubt about it. We'll have Sunday school as usual. Now, the Spanish department will be using the big tent down here, but everything will be as normal. Then we'll dismiss Sunday school as usual on time. Now, folks, we got to keep everything on time. We got a packed day. Church will start right here in this auditorium on time. 10:45, we're going to be right here in this auditorium. We're going to dismiss right at 12:30. Hey, listen, children's church directors, Brother McLean, Brother Calling, Brother Edwards, and Brother Doss. You guys get them converts over here from children's church early. They've got to be over here so that we can, everything will go just right next Sunday morning. Well, when we give the invitation, I mean, during church, we're going to have an altar call and we're going to have people saved and we're going to have people baptized. Everything's going to happen as normal. When we're done then, when we're done with the church service, we're going to dismiss and we're going to go out front here and we'll see the Holy Roller do his demonstration. The children's churches, you'll see it. There'll be a great big long streamers, checkered flags that will separate the crowd from the Holy Roller. And then it's almost, they'll look like, I don't know what to call them other than we're going to corral places for the four children's churches. They'll be blocked off. There'll actually be a square there where the children's churches, there'll be a big sign that says 4- and 5-year-old, or it may say primary church. And then you have the 1st and 2nd grade, the 3rd and 4th, the 5th and 6th. There'll be signs like we did for the candy hunt on Easter morning. And they'll be taken out there. We'll all dismiss and we'll go out there and watch the Holy Roller do his demonstration. You can see, about a dozen cars or so out here in the parking lot that we're using for the Holy Roller to stomp on. You know, he's going to run all over those things. Somebody said to me, "Preacher, what are we going to do if it's rainy or wet? Do you have any idea how much fun a monster truck is in the mud?" I talked to the man that owns a Holy Roller earlier today. I said, "Well, wonder if it's a little wet." He said, "Bring it on." He said, "Sounds good to me." Excuse me, Brother Berman and the grounds workers, but we're having a Holy Roller and he's going to do his job come rain or shine. We're going to have a miracle next Sunday, April 22. And sometimes I worry about rain on something like this. Truth is, I wouldn't mind if it was a little muddy out there. So while you're out and visiting and people say, "Wonder if it's wet," tell them, "Have you ever seen a monster truck in a rain?" Oh my, can you imagine him flinging mud all over the place? Those of you that have a Jeep, you know, one of those little scrawny ones, wait till you see the Holy Roller, whose one tire's bigger than your entire Jeep, flipping mud all over the place. It's going to be fun. And so, but I don't think it's going to rain. I'm not worried about that. But I'm just telling you that that's the schedule. We'll take everybody out there there, watch the Holy Roller. Now, let me explain something. We can't, we couldn't get everybody in our current Sunday school classes. As you know, we're adding Sunday school classes. We're adding, we're under construction right now, trying to add more classrooms. But because we couldn't get everybody in our Sunday school classes in the morning, we're going to have a second series of Sunday school classes. They're going to happen in the afternoon, the early afternoon. So what'll happen is after the Holy Roller is done out here, and our morning church is dismissed, we're going to have some afternoon workers that will go out and pick up the second run of our bus routes. And they will bring them back, and we will have afternoon church and afternoon Sunday school class. Can you, you know, you all know what it's like. We pack this building out now. Just wait until we double it up and we put about another 1,000 people in here. It's going to be one full place. Now let me tell you a little something about the afternoon service. And I'm going to explain it to you in great detail. Actually, in the afternoon, we're going to have, in a way, we're going to have 11 services. I'm going to have a service in this auditorium that will start at 3 o'clock with Sunday school. And from 3 until 3:35, I'll teach the Sunday school lesson. From 3:35 until 4:10, I'm going to preach a salvation sermon. Then we're going to take my auditorium group out to watch a holy roller demonstration at 4:15. We're giving an ATV away at that demonstration time. And so that's what's going to happen. And I'm hosting an afternoon service. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I'm going to explain the afternoon service a little more to you. Let me go on, though. I'm trying to give you the day's schedule. We all went out from the morning church service. We went out and watched the Holy Roller. Then everybody that's helping, they know who they are. Everyone that's helping in the afternoon service, they all kick into gear. And then we come back to church that night. After the afternoon service is done, we'll all come back to church that night. There'll be no King's Kids that night. We've been busy all day long. There'll be no Young Fundamentalists that night. There'll be no choir practice that night. We'll have right here in this auditorium a victory service in the church, just like they did after the fire fell on Mount Carmel. They had a victory service where they were praising God. That Sunday night, I'll give you the final Sunday school count for the day, how many people we taught the Word of God to in Sunday school. I'll have a victory sermon. The Spencer family, as you know, they'll be with us Sunday morning. They'll be back to sing in that victory service that night. I asked Brother Nash, I said, Brother Nash, get us some of those songs, congregational songs that we really love to sing. Let's sing them that night in glory to our God. We may have a few testimonies. We have some ATVs. It's advertised. That almost every ATV is given away in the evening service. And so we'll have all the numbers in to figure out who has won those things. Then, after we have the evening service, I'm hoping you're going to go home and call and blog and tweet and Facebook and text the good news all across the United States of America. We got enough trash on the internet. Why don't we let everybody know God's alive and well? We have that night, the minute all the numbers are in, I've asked Brother Ken Davis to go to the church website and put a big advertisement in there about what God has done that night. So that's the schedule of the day, the schedule of the week. Now, let me tell you some things about our promotional items. Some of the things that we're doing, we are rewarding people for their work. Of course, God did that. God didn't have to tell us about heaven. God talks about crowns and God talks about blessing for service. And so, of course, we're doing some of that. Now, everybody in Sunday school gets a 4x6 picture of the Holy Roller. These are glossy pictures. They're nice pictures. You got to be in Sunday school and you'll get one. Now, in Sunday school, the departmental superintendents are the ones that are going to be helping to distribute those. You captains, you know this, at the visitor center in the afternoon service, you'll come to the visitor center to get yours. But during the day service, the departmental superintendents, they will distribute the pictures that go to all the Sunday school classes. But everybody will get a picture of the Holy Roller. Then everyone who brings a visitor is going to get an 8.5x11 picture of the Holy Roller. Totally different than that 4x6 picture. Everybody will get an 8.5x11. Again, departmental superintendents, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this, but I'm going to need to get your help in the distribution of the visitors' pictures as well. That'll be the best way for us to cover the entire morning, and we'll work out the last of the details on that. Now, if for some reason, and Mrs. Lopez, so you know, if for some reason somebody in Sunday school didn't get their 4x6 picture or their 8.5x11, they'll be at the visitor center for later on, but we'll get most everybody covered during the Sunday school hour. Now, let me go on. We're talking about the rewards. We're talking about the gifts we're giving away. Remember this, a visitor that day is anyone, any age, member or non-member, who has not been to our church, who has not been in Sunday school since January 1 of 2012. In other words, if they've been here since January 1 of this year, they can't count as a visitor, but everybody else, all the way back, then will count as a visitor. Here's some of the things that we're doing. The morning bus captain that has the highest attendance over 100 will win an ATV. And we've got some bus captains that are awful, awful excited about that possibility. Then, the second grader and under with the most visitors in Sunday school. They have to be in Sunday school. They all have to be here next week. There's a minimum of 20 to qualify. That means the most over 20 will win an ATV. It's a little yellow one that's right down here in front. Now, a parent must sign a release. A parent will have to sign for it before we can give it to them. And we're giving that away in the evening service. And there's a reason why we're giving it away in the evening service. We have to calculate numbers all day long. You'll understand better in a moment. Then, we're giving another ATV away. The 3rd through 12th grader with the most visitors in Sunday school, with a minimum of 20 again, will win an ATV. Again, a parent will sign a release. It'll be given away in the evening service. Then the adult who has the most visitors, that's a minimum of 20, they will win an ATV. And it'll be awarded in the evening service. If it's given to a man, we'll let his wife sign the release. One ATV is being given away in the afternoon services. I'm going to explain those services to you more in a moment. But we have one ATV that will be given away in the afternoon. Now, all the bus riders that day, we're giving them candy that's named after Brother Bush. It's called Airheads. Ah, there's a penny in my water. We're giving candy away to the bus riders. Then we have, and I think some of you've seen these. We had them all out. We're giving away on every bus route, morning and morning as well as afternoon, and then in the children's churches, we're giving away these RC cars. And so those will be given away. And the intent was that they were given away to motivate people, to bring lost people, and to bring friends to church. Then the afternoon service, and this won't again. This is not morning, but in the afternoon, I have a coloring book that we put together years ago. It's about Adam the ant. It's about an ant and his burden. The afternoon bus routes are giving some of those away on their bus routes as well. Now, any bus captain that has 100 on their route, they're going to get one of our red. We've got a red sports coat that it's an honor. It's an honor to have one of those. But any man that's never gotten or any lady that's never gotten one of those 100 attendance sports coats will get one of those for having 100 on their route that day. Then, any bus captain or any Sunday school teacher that doubles their base number, we have purchased a entire full page ad in the Revival Fires newspaper. And we are going to put a big ad in there, and we're going to list the names of every Sunday school teacher and every bus captain that doubles their base number on next Sunday. We're going to put their name in there, congratulating them and thanking them for their hard work. And I don't want you to forget, we have the Spencer family. That is a way of promotion. There are some people, maybe they won't be real interested in the monster truck, but they'll be interested in the Spencer family coming to sing. We have these little quarter sheet flyers. There's hundreds of them back there, folks. Don't waste them, but do get them and take them and pass them out and invite people to come. They'll be singing in the morning. They'll be singing in the evening. Of course, we have the Holy Roller, and there are flyers back there, again, at the visitor center that have a picture of the beautiful truck, and it is just going to be fantastic. Again, get the flyers and take them with you. I have to tell you something. One of the things that you've got to do, you've just got to get excited about what's happening. Be excited about what God's doing. You know, there's some people that say, well, I just can't get excited. I just can't get excited. I've seen you at a basketball game. I've seen you at a soccer game. I've seen you watch the Super Bowl. Yes, you can get excited. But you get excited about that which you care the most. And so I say to you, get excited about this thing. I was going to get the key for one of these four wheelers and crank one up and ride it around the auditorium. But I'd have people all mad at me for doing that because you'd have to breathe the fumes. And you probably breathe in the fumes of the person sitting beside you right now. And that's probably bothering you. They probably smell bad. But the four wheelers, it's not real hard to get excited about a four wheeler. And so that's the promotion line. Those are the things that we're doing to make it exciting and to have a good time with it. Now, if you're trying to win one of the ATVs for bringing visitors, at the visitor center, we have some sheets that must be filled out. You put your name on it. You must tell us which ATV you're trying to win. You list all the names of your visitors. Now, those sheets are back there in advance. We thought it would be difficult that day. You would go back to the visitor center. You would see Mrs. Ashley Hartman, and you would have to turn in your names to her. Well, we've got a lot of people that are striving to win one of these ATVs. We figured, boy, they would all bombard her and approach her all at one time, and it would be just very hard to do. Now, you get papers now. You can get the visitor sign-up sheets. You can get those next week. You can do it anytime you want. But you have to turn in your name on and your list of visitors' names on one of our pieces of paper. Don't bring it in scribbled on a napkin. I've got it. Don't tear a page out of my songbook and write your visitors list on it. You get one of those sheets. We've been giving them away service after service after service. You get one of those and you use that. Then you'll turn it into us and we'll be tallying them all day long. Could I recommend something to you? Could I recommend that you not tell anybody how many visitors you brought? You're going to want to keep it confidential because people can bring visitors to my afternoon service. Now, if you go tell somebody, guess what? I was trying to win that teen ATV, the one for the teenagers or the third through 12th grade. I've got 25 visitors. Well, somebody that had 23 may go out and just get a couple visitors and try to beat you in the afternoon then. So I'd recommend that you not tell everybody. If you think you won, just win. Wait and let it come on you instead of telling everybody. I'd be humble until you're a winner. Then you can be real proud and arrogant. But I wouldn't tell everybody. And so here's what we've covered thus far. I told you our goal. I told you our schedule. I've told you about the promotional items. Now, I want to tell you something about my afternoon service. To some of you, this won't mean much. You'll be done. You'll go home after the morning service and you'll just come back to be with us in the evening. But to others, this is something that I want you to understand. We have too many people to get them all in our facility. And there are a lot of churches that might have two services. You've seen them do it before. Now, we're never going to have a contemporary service and an old fashioned service. So you can go to the bank on that. If we ever have two services, there'll be two services for old fashioned, independent, fundamental, hell raising Baptist kind of preaching. But we're never going that other route. Never, never. We're never going to do that. But we're going to have two services because we've got so many people coming to our church. And just for this one day. Now, there will be a total of 11 afternoon services. There are 10 new buses that are going to run into 10 new areas. They will come back to the church. Each one of those 10 new buses will have a Sunday school class of their own. They will have a preaching service of their own. These are men off of our staff. They've gathered a group of people to help them. These are 10 brand new areas. These are not going to our regular bus route areas. They're going to 10 brand new areas. They will come onto the property. And they need workers. But the only workers that can help on those are people that have been interviewed. And those of you know what that means. They have to be interviewed. We have to do a background check. But people can help those 10 men. And if you're one of the 10 men that's leading an afternoon bus route and having a Sunday school class and a church service in the afternoon here on the property, stand up for me real quick. Stand up. These are the men. Remember, if you're a Sunday school teacher, already a bus worker of some sort, and you want to help them, you may. But they're only people that have been interviewed and done background check. And we have to do that. That's what our insurance recommends to us, and it's the way to do it. But thank you, men. So here's what they're doing. When we dismiss the morning church service, these men and their workers will go back out, gather their 10 crowds, bring them back into the church and have Sunday school and a preaching service. They too will watch the performance in the afternoon of the monster truck, the Holy Roller. Now, I'm going to have a service in the auditorium, independent of these 10 men. It'll start at 3:00. At 3:00, we'll have Sunday school. And then at 3:35, we'll have a preaching service. We'll have an invitation. We'll get people saved. And then my morning or my afternoon service will go out and watch the Holy Roller. They'll have a chance to win the ATV. Now, I want you to listen. I've got a group of workers helping me. I've got altar workers. I've got soul winners. I've got greeters. I've got ushers. Brother Ray MacArthur is my head usher for the afternoon service. Now, listen, and I don't want you confused, so I want you to listen very carefully. And this is for those people that are going to participate in the afternoon. The afternoon count will only be of those that were not in the Sunday morning service. We're not going to double count anybody. We're going to be very honest about what we do, and we're not trying to inflate numbers. We're not going to do that. We're not going to lie about it. If we don't reach our goal, we don't reach our goal. That's just the way it is. But the only people that will count in the afternoon are the people that were not in Sunday school that Sunday morning. Then, Anybody can bring visitors to my afternoon service in the auditorium. As long as they were not in Sunday school Sunday morning, if you want to bring somebody to that 3 o'clock service in the afternoon, you may. And you can count them as a visitor. They come in to my afternoon service here in the auditorium. They don't go to any of the others. If you're driving in, you want to be in the afternoon service, you come in here at 3 o'clock, right in the auditorium, and you may bring your visitors with you. Afternoon Sunday school is going to span all ages. In other words, when Brother Bush has his afternoon service, his Sunday school class in there is going to be all age people. It's not going to be divided like our Sunday schools are right now. You know how we have everybody divided up in first grade, second grade, third grade. The afternoon is not going to be like that. He's going to be the teacher. It's going to be one great big combined class. And that's what I'm going to do here in the auditorium too. In other words, you bring people in the afternoon. We're going to have children. We're going to have teenagers. We're going to have adults. It's just going to be a wild Sunday school time for a little while here in the auditorium. But that is exactly how we're doing it. Now, if a morning bus captain didn't reach his goal in the morning, he can bring back to my afternoon service someone as a guest. If he had a rider that didn't make it in the morning, he may bring them back to our Sunday school hour in the afternoon, and he'll still get to count them toward his morning count. Now, this is for an emergency measure. We're not trying to get a bunch of people not to come in the morning and come in the afternoon. This is for those that maybe missed it in the morning. Morning Sunday school teachers may bring any age person to my afternoon Sunday school, as long as those people were not in Sunday school that morning, and they may count them toward their morning count as well. And that because, and you can bring any age people you want to the afternoon, as long as they're visitors, actual visitors for the day in Sunday school, they can come and be in my service, and you can count them toward your morning Sunday school count. Now, let's say a Sunday school teacher had a goal of 20 in the morning, and they only had 19. But they knew one of their students. They went out, picked them up, brought them back in the afternoon, and that student that wasn't there in the morning could come to the afternoon Sunday school, and you could still count them, and you would still have them in your count. So, now, and I have to say this, Sunday school teachers that are working on the 10 extra routes in the afternoon, you can't count your visitors towards your morning count. That would be us double counting people. We're not going to let that happen. But listen, people, visitors brought to my afternoon service, you can turn those numbers in and count them toward the three ATVs we're giving away. So if in the morning you had 20 visitors come with you, if you can get other people, other visitors, somebody wasn't here in the morning, you bring them back to my afternoon Sunday school, you can still count them as a Sunday school visitor. Everything, all numbers will be turned in at the visitor center all the way through. In the morning, Mrs. Lopez, Mrs. Ashley Hartman will be at the visitor center. In the afternoon, Mrs. Stacy MacArthur will be at the visitor center. And that's where you'll turn in the names of your visitors. Hey, if you're a Sunday school teacher and you bring a few visitors back in on Sunday afternoon, you go to the visitor center and you report it so we can add it to your morning count. If you're a bus captain in the morning and you bring a few people that missed it on Sunday morning, you bring them back in the afternoon Sunday school, you'll need to go to the visitor center and turn in your additional few so it can be added to your count. So that's all important to you. Now, let's see here. Let me make some general comments and I'm almost done. Sunday morning, we're going to have to use a little extra. We're going to have some extra parking situations. When you come in, the parking lot attendants will show you some extra places to park. But can you imagine? There's just going to be cars everywhere. We are in the afternoon. We're renting 10 buses because we don't have enough buses. We're going to double run some buses. And so the parking lots are going to be full to capacity. It's going to be better than the Super Bowl. And it's for a better reason, by the way. And so this old property is going to be jam-packed with cars and people and buses and helicopters and probably police and everything. So you just be ready. But the parking lot attendants will give you a little direction about parking, and some of you that can help. We may have you scoot out by the pavilion and some things like that, just because we need all the parking that we can get. Those of you that drive our shuttle, keep that thing flowing in the morning, because we're going to have a lot of people we're transporting. Bus captains, let me ask you to do me a favor. Mark the hands of your riders. Mark the hands. You have a magic marker. Everybody. And bus captains, you may not think that your pastor knows, but your pastor does know. I go out and greet bus kids all the time, and I see them getting off buses, and they don't have their hand marked. Now, bus captain, we need to keep those children safe and keep track of them. It sure helps if you've got a little lost child that we can see right on the back of their hand what bus they belong to. So new bus captains, you mark them. Those of you running afternoon routes, every hand marked. Here's the rule. If you don't mark a hand and they're on your route and I find out, we're cutting off your right hand. And so you will know the following week which bus captains did mark hands. And if I find two people on your route not marked, both your hands are coming off. After that, we take off your head. And so mark those hands. And bus captains, we require permission slips to be signed by parents or guardians for people to come on our buses. We're not taking any shortcuts. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. None. Everybody that comes on the buses, we have a signed permission slip from their parents. Then, I could recommend this to you. You need more promises than your goal. You say, my goal's three. I have three people promise this is going to be great. You might be disappointed. Every once in a while, someone will promise you they're coming to church and not come. Just every once in a while it happens like that. I'd recommend if your goal's three that you have 300. But the character of people today in keeping their word, but you need more than your goal. And folks, pitch in and help us. Ushers, be ready. Be ready. We're gonna have chair situations and struggles. You can just be sure of it. You know, you're not gonna have a whole bunch of people that are new to the church and new to the Lord and them understand everything, but just be patient. I can promise you something. On the day of Pentecost, I'm sure that there was a little confusion here and there, but God did a great victory. And I believe that's what we're going to see. Hey, if you want to help us financially, it's going to take extra money. We're renting 350 extra chairs for next week because we just don't know where we're going to set everybody. Gas right now is $4.09 a gallon. And it's expensive. The big day in itself, but it's worth it. Listen, if it cost us $20,000 to have this big day and one little boy was saved, it would be worth it all. If you knew what heaven was like and you knew what hell was like, it'd be worth it all. But I believe it's going to be far greater than one soul being saved. But if you want to help, you put some money in your tithing envelope and just write on it the big day. And that would help us because indeed God is God. God needs our sacrifice in it. Now, don't forget about those visitor sheets that are back there. And when you fill out a visitor sheet, and if you're shooting for an ATV, you've got to have you've got to tell us which ATV you're trying to win. We need to know that it's for the children second grade and under, or third grade through 12th grade. We have to know that. I have to tell you, those in our church that win an ATV, we'll try to help you figure out a way to get it home, but you may have to help us with that a little bit. We're going to have a bunch of these things to deliver, so be prepared to try to figure out how to get yours home. And if for some reason you don't want to take it home, you want to give it back to us, you can do that. Like anybody would. Nurseries are going to be open all day that day. I've talked to the nurseries. They're going to be open all day throughout the afternoon because of the afternoon services and afternoon workers. And then in the evening, we're going to get everything back to normal, but we're going to have our victory banquet. And our victory service. And I want you to be here. Now, I know this is a little odd. I'm going to let you ask me some questions. We're still going to have an altar call in just a moment. Mama let you ask me some questions. Some of you just like to ask questions because you think that it makes you look smart. I would rather you not do that. I want you to ask a question that has to be answered. And I'm going to break these questions down a little bit. Again, I'm going to do my best to answer your questions, but I want you to understand what's happening. It's very important. For instance, I'm going to start out by seeing if you have a question about any of the giveaways, either ATVs, pictures, the RC cars. Does someone have a question you want to ask about the giveaways? Brother Cooper, stand and talk real loud for me. That is going to be a drawing. So everybody that's in my Sunday school and the ones coming in on the buses, they're all going to get a chance at it. Okay? Natasha? Uh-huh. Okay, if you all hit 100, your bus captain's going to get a red jacket that is a 100 jacket. It's an honorary jacket. They're also, if you have 100, then that's the minimum requirement for your bus captain to win an ATV. Okay? Other questions that apply quickly about... Okay, this is the last one. Yes, sir. This one right up here, you know what? I cannot see the picture on it, but if you come up after the service, it's marked right on it. It'll tell you which one it is. I'm not sure which one that is because I can't see it, but there is a tag on it that tells you who wins that particular ATV. And because you're a guest, out in the hallway, there are two of them out in the hallway too. You might want to take a look at them. All right. The next thing I want to ask you about. Anybody have questions about what we call a visitor, the visitor issue? I want to answer them. You say, well, you have a question about what a visitor is. Remember, a visitor, any age, they have to be in Sunday school. They cannot have been here since January 1, 2012. And that's a visitor. Okay, next level of question. Anybody have a question about the nurseries? We're going to have nurseries all day. In the morning, nurseries will function as usual. In the afternoon, we'll have a combined nursery. Some of you understand what I mean by that. Sometimes we combine nurseries for, like a watch night service or maybe a wedding or something like that. We'll have combined nurseries through the afternoon. And then we'll go back to our regular full nursery schedule in the evening. Any questions about nurseries? Next. Anybody have a question about my afternoon service? Now, the afternoon services, remember, 10 of them are ran independently by 10 of our staff men. They will take care of themselves. They know exactly what they are to do. But I'm willing to answer any question. Anybody have a question about my afternoon service or the afternoon services? Brother Greenlee? I don't understand your question. Theirs is almost identical to mine. Isn't that true, men? I think they're to be back here at 3 o'clock and they'll have their services at the very same time I'm having mine. So his question was the 10 buses that are running in the afternoon for the 10 extra Sunday school classes, what time will their afternoon start? Theirs will start just like mine. They have Sunday school at 3. They'll have a preaching service. They'll watch the Holy Roller presentation at 4:15. All right? Good. Other questions? Any questions about the afternoon Sunday school? All right. And then finally, anybody have a question about the scheduling of anything? Something you don't understand? Brother Barnes? Okay. His question is, what time do we think we'll put our morning riders back on the buses and head home? Well, I want to get us out of the auditorium at 12:30, maybe a few minutes before. It'll take about 15, 20 minutes out for the Holy Roller. I'm going to guess we're going to be back on the buses heading home at, five minutes till 1. It's going to be running a little behind normal, but won't be too much behind normal. Well, the afternoon services, all I've told them is they are to be back by 7 o'clock for church at night. Okay, ask that question one more time, Brother Barnes, so I can follow you. Okay. Now, are you concerned, Brother Barnes, about your bus that you're driving in the morning, what time it needs to be back here? Okay. Brother Doss, can you help me? What time are we switching the buses over? Because do you understand his question? Okay. Does that sound right, men? I put him on the spot. I think it's 4:30. I think the morning. See, folks, we're renting buses and we're using some of our own. Those of our own that we're using have to be back here by 4:30. So we load people up to take them home. All right. And that won't affect there's some of you it won't affect at all. You don't have to worry about it. Bus drivers, if you have questions, ask Brother Doss. He can answer it. If he can't, Mrs. Doss can. Other questions about the schedule? Brother Stoltz? Okay. All right. And that's just a clarification. For the Spanish department, the adults will be in the tent. All the teenagers and, is it teenagers and children? Okay. So children sixth grade and under will still be in their department down in the white building. And then the teenagers and above will be out at the tent. All right. So the Spanish workers and everybody knows that. I'll find out. This is the last time. I'll check one more time. Anybody have any questions I can answer for you? Brother Jones? Yeah. Senior citizens and handicapped people, you just come right on up to the church and park. Parking lot attendants, we always give preferential treatment to them. We'll send the others on out. Time for just a couple more. I do want to answer. Mrs. Lopez? It all depends on how fast they get baptized. We'll try not to hold them under too long. But I don't want people not to get baptized over a truck. So, okay. Brother Ham? Yes. Yeah, they'll be done right either on the buses or in my service. Yes, sir. Brother Malat? There will be, but it's all cared for and you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, they're doing all that at the visitor center because they got a lot of calculating and things that they have to do. Brother Ron? Yeah, you know, I'll try to make an announcement on Wednesday. His question is about the children that'll be in the nursery a big part of the day if they're working in the afternoon. I need some of you nursery directors probably to help me with that. I know, like Mrs. Hollinger, sometimes you'll give me a note to send them a blanket and a cookie or something. You nursery directors, somebody, all of you, pull together by Wednesday night. Give me some announcements about what we might. Mrs. Duke, I'll put you in charge of that for me, okay? All in favor of Mrs. Duke doing it, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign, and it's carried. Mrs. Duke, if you will, I've been running board meetings for years. If you will, help me get an announcement ready for Wednesday. Get with the nursery workers to figure out what we need to do. Thank you, Brother Ron. Anything else? Folks, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to have an altar call because I think I just should. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray. If you need the altar for something, we obviously want you to use it. I know I've been extremely practical, but I believe this. I believe that an educated people are a safe people. They're a productive people. We watched the miracle that God did on Mount Carmel, and it was organized, whether you would realize it or not, it was. The altar call won't last long, but we're going to have it. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You happen to be in a church where we care about people. That's why we're doing all of this. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to